art is always subjective and it always will be subjective. So just because you never got funding doesn't mean that you are a bad artist and that you will never get funding. You might be super successful, whatever that means to you.
Hello and welcome, listeners. This is Rise Above the Void, tips and tricks for the starting artist. So, are you a starting artist? You just left art school or are going towards the end of it? Or maybe you're self-taught and just started making your way into the scene? Well, then this podcast is for you. Just like a lot of your colleagues, you're probably struggling, paying rent, buying groceries, buying your art supplies, inflation. But you manage, working 2, 3 days or 32 hours a week in a coffee shop or as a waitress. Some of you just call their parents every now and then. You are here on this world to make art, to make pretty things or ugly things, things that change people's minds. There really is no other option. And that is why we, as in Gallery Bart and myself, Geert, make this podcast series to try and make life a little bit easier for you and your starting career. This podcast has a slight focus on the Dutch art scene, but should come in handy for all starting artists from over Europe. In the second episode, I talk with two experts in subsidy and funding. One of them, Carmen Musquet, is working for one of the biggest Dutch cultural funds, the Mondriaan Fund. They finance projects for visual artists, art platforms, publishers, commissioners, museums, and other heritage institutions. Carmen is working as a project officer for the grant for the starting artist, Kunstenaar Start, or in English, Artist Start. She knows everything about this and other Mondriaan Fund subsidies regarding the starting artist. She will try and give you advice about applying for these subsidies. And next to her, we have Linda Keuken, an art historian, writer and curator who uses her experience and knowledge to help the starting artist. She, for example, gives workshops about how to price your work and how to get your work at an exhibition. But, and that is why we invited her, she also advises artists on how to make a successful grant proposal. In this talk, she focuses on other funds than Mondriaan Fund. There's a lot more out there. Normally, her workshops will take 2 to 3 hours, but for us, she tries to speed things up. So be prepared. Thank you both for joining me. To start off, can you tell me something about your personal life? Where do you live? And what is your favorite meal?
Oh, well, my favorite meal. I'm Linda Keuken. I'm currently 29 years old. I live in Geleen in Limburg in the southern appendix of this country. Fun fact about my personal life, I have a very cute Labradoodle puppy. My favorite meal would probably be the vegan cheesecake that I only bake twice a year because it takes 8 hours to make.
My name is Carmen. I live in Amsterdam, born in Groningen, but I live here now for 10 years, approximately. My favorite food, I would say pasta. I'm not a super great cook myself, but sometimes I dare to make a pasta and it kind of works out.
I would like to give you the stage, Carmen. My main question is, what can the Mondriaan Fund do for the starting artist?
Yeah, so the Mondriaan Fund has a wide range of grant programs, and some of them are quite suitable for emerging artists. For this podcast, I will highlight 3 of them. We have more grant programs, but it would be just too much to highlight them all, but they're all listed on our website. For example, so we also have grants for artists together with institutions. But today I will focus on the Artist Start grant, which I'm a project officer for, on the artist project, and on the residency grant. The Artist Start grant, which Geert also mentioned already, is a grant especially for emerging artists, artists that are at the start of their career and want to develop their career further. It's an amount of 20,000 euros for a period of 12 months, and it can be used in any way to develop your career as an artist further. So it can be used for the creation of new work, it can be for research, to spend on materials, on travel, Maybe you want to work on exhibitions, do a residency, can be anything. So it's basically up to you how you want to spend the money, just in any way that would fit the development of your career further. Besides the financial amount that you will receive, it also has some extra benefits. For example, you can take part in a mentoring program that we organize together with Cultuur en Ondernemen, or in English, Culture and Entrepreneurship. So we have a select group of mentors, which are established artists, curators, that can do a mentoring program with you. All artists that receive this Artist Start grant can also take part in the exhibition Prospects that we organize each year during Art Rotterdam in the Van Elle Factory. And I hear from artists that for them it's usually a great opportunity to show their work to a large audience, of course a professional audience, the gallerists that are present already at the fair, but also curators that are visiting, collectors, and just a wide general audience. So yeah, these are sort of the extra benefits next to the grant of 20,000 euros, which in itself can be already quite helpful for artists, of course, to create a sort of basis which they can build upon. I heard in the previous episode, a lot of artists are struggling, like handling their time, working side jobs, working their artistic practice. So this grant really can make a foundation or a basis which you can build your practice upon.
Yeah, it can really make a difference.
I think so, yeah.
For starting artists, it could be like a year of only working at their own practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and how many people apply yearly? Do you know that?
If I take the last 4 years as an example, approximately per year, we receive around 190 applications for Artist Start, and we grant around 75, 76 on average per year. But of course, it can vary per year. So it depends on the height of our budget. It depends on the quality of the applications, how much we can grant. So this means 1 year, maybe we grant 70. The other year, maybe we grant 90. It really depends. Maybe a bit more about the other grant programs as well. So the Artist Project is a grant program for if you have a very specific project or plan in mind with a duration of a maximum of 12 months. This can be the creation of a specific new work or maybe a series of work for an exhibition. It can be a specific research you want to conduct, maybe a collaboration or an internship with an established artist. Can also be a residency period, as long as it's not on our list of residencies, because we also have a residency grant, which I will talk about later. So if you have another type of residency, which you've already applied for and got into, then you can also apply for that with the Artist Project grant. We have either a fixed amount or a flexible amount that we can grant you. The fixed amount is for a specific working period of 1 to 6 months. And it's really to cover your costs for working on the project. So your hours, the hours that you spend working on this project, and also like a basic fee for material research costs. Or we can give you the flexible amount. This is for when you have a specific plan for up to 12 months. And we allocate the budget accordingly to your plan and also the budget plan that you hand in. So this can specifically be helpful if you want to create new work and you want to apply for the production cost, the material cost of that specific work. Then we can give you a flexible amount of up to 90% of your budget. And then the residency grant. This is a grant that we offer via open calls. We have those twice a year, usually one in spring, one in fall. We have residencies that we collaborate with. So we offer artist in residence programs in the Netherlands and abroad. For example, in Paris, London, New York, Curaçao, Japan. And I think it's useful, maybe if you're interested in applying for a residency, to check out the specifics, because some residencies are very much focused on a specific medium or a specific theme. Some are very useful to create new work because they have the facilities for that. Others are more useful for conducting research or expanding your network. So take a look at what kind of residencies might suit you and your practice and the point of your career where you're at. Some of these residencies are also very suitable for emerging artists. So after you handed in your application, first the Monion Fund office which I'm part of. We'll take a look at the application, if everything is complete, if you've handed everything in that we needed. If not, we will also contact you to see if you have any additional material that you send in yet. For example, if you forgot to send in video with your application, but you have a lot of video work, then we can just ask you for that. So first we check if it's complete, and then if it's complete, then it will be assessed by our advisory committee. So we have a pool of advisors, which are external experts consisting of visual artists, curators, art historians, people from the field, basically, that take a look at all applications. They do that in meetings with the artist grant. Usually around 20 applications per meeting are assessed. And with the meetings are in a sort of regular pace throughout the year. So this also means there are no deadlines for the artist start or artist project grant. For the residency grant, we have open calls. So therefore, we have deadlines.
And so you help a lot of artists. How does it feel to see them grow?
Wow. Well, personally, I'm also involved in the organization of prospects. So that's, for me, is also always one of the highlights of the year, because then I can meet the artists that I've seen the applications from. Some I already maybe know from the field or openings, but some I haven't met before. And then for me, prospects is really a nice opportunity to get to know them and also see what they've made in the year with a grant, how they've evolved. So that's really great, actually, to see how they've used the grant and how they've progressed with it.
And a prospect is the ending.
It's the ending presentation, so to say, of the grant. We don't present it as such that much, but it's more an opportunity, to show with a grant, or to show the audience what the young artists have done with a grant, but also just for the artists to show their work to the public, to the world.
So in the last conversation, we had a talk with some starting artists, and mm-hmm. They said it can be difficult to do this application. Is that something you hear more often?
I hear sometimes from artists that it takes quite a lot of time for them, which I can imagine, especially when it's your first application. Then maybe you would have to do a lot of thinking and writing for the application. However, we really try to make it concise in a sense. So for the artist start, we ask for an artist statement and a work plan, and both maximum can be 3 pages, but it also really can be less than that. Always our tip to artists is to keep it short, concise, and also keep it close to yourself. Sometimes I speak to artists and they have the feeling that they need to impress. So maybe they feel the need to overcomplexify their practice, or to use a lot of philosophical terms, for example. Or I just want to say it's really not necessary if it's not directly what your practice is about. Of course, there are artists that have more artistic research-based practices, for example. But if you're, for example, mainly doing material research, that's great, and don't try to overcomplexify it. Maybe at first it can be quite a lot of work for you, but I hope that these texts that you then have, for example, the artist statement, that you can also reuse them. For example, you can reuse them for your website or for open calls, for prizes or residencies. So it's something that you can use more often throughout your career. Maybe now it's a bit of work, but then the work pays off in the end.
I kind of want to add something to that, what Carmen said. When I work with artists to write proposals and collaborate on that, I always try to install it in their minds to reframe the way of writing a proposal, that it's not that you are trying to get money from them, but also use it as a kind of opportunity to assess where you stand. And always see the positives in that even though you don't get the money or you get a rejection, it's always a learning experience. So I really second what you say, Carmen. It's always useful in a sense. Even if the primary result is not met, it's never a waste of time.
And do you have other tips for the starting artists that want to apply for the subsidy?
So if you're in the process of writing your application or you're thinking about wanting to apply, you can also take a look at our website. There's a lot of information on it about the grant programs, but also you can see who have been allocated the grants before. Maybe there are people that you know, for example, that you can contact. You can also check our year reports if you want additional information about all the grants. They have the most complete overviews. So in that way, you can gather quite a lot of information before starting on your application, which can maybe help you out or give you more context. I hope that provides everyone with information, but also gives people the feeling that the Monium Fund is really accessible. That's something that we really try to do. Sometimes it can seem like like the fund can seem like something big or abstract, but I hope that the website and how we present ourselves show that there are a lot of people working at the Monrian Fund who are all very much willing to help you.
Is there a main reason that people, their application got denied? Or is it like really individual?
It's usually really individual. I cannot really say anything super clear, I think, on that. Sometimes it's because a practice is maybe not developed enough. Sometimes we see that when artists are still quite fresh from academy, that they're still really much searching, like, who am I as an artist? How do I want to position myself? Where do I want to go? But it's also really depend, because some artists just from academy already have this vision quite clearly. So that could be one reason, but there could be many reasons. It's hard to pinpoint.
An artist in the last episode, he was not happy with the explanation when his grant got denied. It was briefly, so he asked for more information, and the second answer he got was, it felt generic to him. Is this something you hear more often?
Sometimes I hear it. Well, I heard the episode, so I heard it there. Maybe I can give a bit of explanation that when an application is rejected, they get first a letter without an explanation or motivation for the rejection, because we felt or we have experienced in the past that not every artist appreciates to receive it. So therefore, we have made the option that artists can ask for the motivation, and then they will get that in a second letter. And then about if that it's maybe a bit short or generic, what the artist said, it's short because what we do basically, or what our advisors, because it's a team of external advisors that look at the applications for us, they assess whether the application meets the criteria of a certain grant program. So what we try to do when an artist is rejected is to motivate or give arguments why their application didn't meet the criteria according to the advisor. So it's not our aim to give criticism or feedback on the practice, for example, in the role a tutor or a mentor would do. So I think, our role is a bit different. We just try to argument clearly why it didn't meet the criteria. But it's something else than, giving feedback or criticism on the practice.
In the same last podcast, an artist explains that after failing his first attempt, he now considers to hire a third party. What does the Mondrian Fonds think about that?
It's not something we advise per se. I would say if you're able to write your application yourself as much as possible, in that way you can keep the application close to yourself, and also can keep a constant dialogue with your practice. So creating and reflecting on it, I think, is a practice that can be in dialogue. So it also can be very useful for yourself to think about your practice and how you want to move forward. And if you find it difficult to put that in writing, maybe you can ask, for example, befriended artists who have already done an application themselves to maybe proofread your application. And you could also return the favor to them. So in that way, maybe you can help out each other. So I think that would be my general advice. I mean, I understand if writing is really hard for you, that you maybe would look for more help.
I wish there was like some sort of, when people get granted, they should film themselves And you should make like a wall of fame with people like in tears with like, oh yeah, I got a grant. Do you ever get sort of first reactions from people?
I see some artists that posted online on their Instagram, for example, that they're very happy. Or we usually, when we send a letter with that the award is granted, we also give them stickers and such. So sometimes they make whole creations with the stickers on themselves or on their door or whatever. So that's how we get the feedback usually via social media and sometimes also personally.
Well, thanks a lot for this explanation.
Of course.
Yeah. And then we go to Linda. When I met you over the phone to talk about this subject, you were from the start really enthusiastic. And I must say, it surprised me a bit because the subject to me can be a little bit boring, to be honest. But you were like, yeah, let's go for it. You were like really excited. So I'm excited to have you here all the way from Geleen with the train. So how many hours did that take?
Well, I came from Den Bosch now, so it was only an hour. It flew by.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. With good Wi-Fi on a train.
Yeah, a good hotspot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Plenty of work to do, looking outside on a flat landscape.
How come you dove with such a smile into this world that sometimes seems so full of government language?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. I think it kind of happened organically. So my background as an art historian is very theoretical. And at my previous job, it was very practical. And I also was in contact with a lot of young artists. So we spoke almost on a daily basis about the struggles that they have, the things they wanted to learn more, the things that they wanted to be taught at the art academy that they just graduated from. I experienced the contemporary art world quite early on from two different sides, both from an organization and working very closely with the artist. So I really could combine that knowledge and experience to find the things that will help them further. It also helps, in my personal opinion, that I don't have any primary interest for myself because I'm not an artist myself. So therefore, I live to help young artists.
That is your art.
That is my art, yeah. It's a creative industry as well, writing. So,
an old student of yours told me she was really happy with one of your workshops. So I'm really looking forward to hear you speak about how you can help the starting artist. The floor is yours.
So I work as a full-time freelance art writer, art curator, and fundraiser. And I have two taglines. The first is sees, writes, and curates. So that see part reflects on the art. The write part reflects on the writing, obviously. And the curating is making the exhibitions of that art. My second tagline is for, with, and about. So the first part, for, is that I write for institutions. I write for artists more in a applied way. So that can include curatorial texts, publications, interviews that I do. The second part, with, is pretty much the majority of my practice. So I really collaborate with artists and institutions to improve their writing skills, to use those skills for artist statements, for funding, for project proposals, for blogs that they want to do, websites that they want to make, even publications for all kinds of different things, both applied and artistic. And the last part about in my tagline is relating to art criticism, kind of the field that I started in. And often I still write a review every now and then. So that's basically what I do.
And you forgot one tagline because you on your website there's like a line that says "Let's put the fun in funding."
Yes, and that is why I'm sitting here with such a big smile. Yeah.
So you said writing is important.
Yes.
Can you tell me about it?
I really love what artists do. I think what my practice is as a freelance writer at the core is a love and respect for the artist and seeing how good they are at making things creatively. That often conflicts with being textual because it's very precise, it's very applied as well. When your strength as an artist in the essence is to create things, to think new concepts, to make stuff that we all love, many things that surround it can be secondary, but are also in this time of an age very needed to be a part of your professional practice. So writing, for instance, is a very good skill to have for the writing of proposals, for grants, the text for your website, even like the first statement that you have to make when you've graduated and you want to invite some people. So I do believe that artists can really use that skill, but also use it in a way that suits their creativity best. So the writing with artists or institutions, what I do, is also the most important part to me because it's really about giving back and collaborating with somebody and also finding the right words that really suit somebody's practice and what they do and what they make, because that is what sets you apart. That's what makes you unique, and that's hopefully what also makes you successful.
Is it hard for these artists to find the words on their own, or is there help needed for that?
Some are really good. I have to give them credit because some artists that I've seen are really good writers. But there's also some that could use some help, that tell me that they want help. It's not that I think of them as bad writers, but to me, often what I see is a lack of self-confidence and self-knowledge. And that's also something that when I work with them, I really try to install in them that know yourself, who you are, what you do, and also believe in that and make it convincing to others. And I really truly believe that everybody can write good proposals, good things, but it takes time. And when you get over those two first hurdles, it's only a matter of grammar and word choice and also a kind of ritual that you do it often. But I'm very optimistic that everybody has it in him to write good things about what he, she, they make.
Should it come from the heart?
Always, yes. Yeah.
So no difficult language is needed?
For some people that is from the heart. but I really stand behind a very understandable use of language.
And as Carmen said, sometimes it can be useful to just pair up with a different, like a colleague, like a colleague starting artist. Would you advise that as well?
Yes, definitely. I think not just when it comes to writing and finding subsidies, peers are so important. Having a community around you that supports you, I think it supersedes writing, it supersedes the individual. So I think in a very meta sense, it's always very important.
So I'm a starting artist, that's fictional. Mm-hmm. And I want to do an application. Mm-hmm. And the first question is something like, who are you as an artist? How do I start?
I think you should approach that question in the most honest way that you can. Be true to yourself, show your flaws. I've seen some grants being granted that were very brutally honest. Really don't overdo it. And the tips that I also give to artists when I collaborate with them on that part is kind of related to the idea of the golden circle from Simon Sinek, where the why is really in the core of the circle of the what and the how. So many artists focus on the what and the how. What is it they do and how do they make what they do? But it's very important to also know why you make something. What drives you to the things that you do? And it can be very confronting. I think that's also why a majority of the artists take a long time to even write their application or maybe even start their application, because it can be really confronting to think about, who am I? And it kind of comes with a lot of existential dread, maybe. So it's the most important question of an application, but probably also the most difficult one.
Why?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and you said the golden circle. I'm going to put a link in the show notes, I guess, because people want to see what it is, I mm-hmm. guess. Do you have other tips?
Oh, I have many. Start on time. It's very clear. It's very obvious, but it's super important. So the Mondrian Artist Start doesn't have a deadline. While there is one deadline, obviously, that you have to apply within the 4 years that you have graduated. But if there is a funding body that you want to apply for, make sure that you start on time. Cut it up into small pieces. So that you really, that you find a way that makes it doable for you. And ask yourself, I always, when I work with artists, this is also a part of the workshop that I give to people, is kind of find your inner four-year-old that always ask why, and be very annoying about it and keep going further and further. And also be... there's so many tips that I have.
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Let it rain.
I will let it rain. A good, clear introduction is also something that when I read things is very important. As Carmen said, an advisory board will read many applications at once. Make sure that yours stands out in a way that suits you. Make it clear, make it understandable. Really avoid the complicated language. Write close to the heart. It's less, writing is less about grammar. It's less about the rules of Dutch or English or whatever language you're speaking in, but it's the most important thing, that it really tells who you are and why you want to be granted. And another tip that I have is make sure that the funding body that you are applying to also really suits the aim of your goals, because there are quite a few funding bodies out there. There are quite a few subsidies for artists, for starting artists, but also emerging artists. So make sure that you find the funding that works for you, and that you also tell why you chose that particular funding, because that will make a convincing story.
You say there's a lot of subsidies for the starting artist, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of them are not really visible. Uh-huh. No, there's actually there are a few ways in this country that you can fund your practice from. I think a lot of artists focus on the Mondrian Fund, which is completely validated because it's a wonderful fund that you can cut this out.
What? No, there's love there.
No, a lot of artists, they really focus on the Mondrian Fund because they have very clear rules for artists. It's also a funding opportunity that you can use to not just fund your material or your practice, but also your livelihood, because obviously you need to not starve and pay your electricity and gas bills. And that's very, very useful. And they're also very visible, which really helps. But since the odds are not necessarily always in your favor, it's good to see what else is out there. And because the Mondrian Fund also has this clause that you cannot apply within the first year after you have graduated, it really is a good opportunity to check, first of all, local funding. For instance, here in Amsterdam, you have the AFK, but in many provinces and even municipalities here in the Netherlands, you find a lot of cultural funding. And even if you don't live in one of those cities, if you want to do a project in Utrecht, for instance, but you don't live there, you might still be able to get funding to do something there because it contributes to that field in Utrecht. So there is so many things out there, even private funding. a lot of them are collected under the umbrella of the Prins Bernhard Cultuurfonds, Prins Bernhard Cultural Fund, which is basically a whole collection of smaller particular funds that you can also apply for 4 times a year. They have very different kinds of things which are really worth it to look into, but also look outside the box. If you want to make a video, maybe there's an opportunity for a crossover with another funding body. So there's a lot of really good options, and these funding bodies exist to help the artists, to give out their money. So they want that. That is their right of existence. They want to be found. They want to help us. And sometimes it can seem that they are against artists, but they really are not.
Can you recommend any like overview website, or is there any overview of that?
There are some, yeah. I have not yet found a super complete one, maybe except for the Fondsenboek, which is a book that is being published every year that includes all the Dutch funding. It's quite complicated to use because it's not just the cultural funds, but it's also the ones about research, about academics, about agriculture, about education. It's quite difficult to navigate, but on websites like beroepkunstenaar.nl or beroepkunstenaar.nl, as we will probably also add in the notes, you will also find a big list of other funding bodies, from Stichting Stokroos to the KF Heinfonds to funding bodies that operate in different cities, also maybe even international funds. I think even Cultuur en Ondernemen has a list of funding bodies online.
And is there like, it is work applying for a subsidy. So if you do it a couple of times and then after you got denied a lot of times, it doesn't motivate. Do you have any tips for that? How to you say start in time and cut it in bits and pieces? Any other tips about that?
Tips on how to stay motivated? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eat healthy.
Eat healthy. not the vegan cheesecake that I recommended. I think there is also opportunities, of course, to fund your practice without funding, but that's obviously not why we're sitting here at the table. We are talking here about subsidies and funding.
But you shouldn't depend on it alone.
No, yeah. Definitely. And sometimes you don't know exactly why it is being denied. Sometimes it's a very trivial thing. Sometimes it can be that it's just not a good match. You misread one of the criteria, that the amount of money just ran out and you just was a tad late. Some funding bodies operate like that. And I think the majority of the funding is not necessarily rejecting you because your art is bad, although it can feel like that. But art is always subjective and it always will be subjective. So just because you never got funding doesn't mean that you are a bad artist and that you will never get funding. You might be super successful, whatever that means to you. Find validation outside of money. Find your worth outside of that. And that is easier said than done. I know that. But I think that's very important to not be overwhelmed and to keep going as an artist.
You said like Amsterdam has got the AFK, but if you live in Amsterdam and you've got a project focusing on Utrecht, go check out Utrecht local subsidies. But these are the biggest cities. Do smaller like towns, in, like for example, Geleen, have subsidies?
Geleen does not, unfortunately.
Oh.
but Maastricht has, Heerlen in Limburg has. I've worked for over 5 years in the province of Noord-Brabant, all big municipalities have them, but also check out to see what is possible. There might be a bit of lenience there, because I also, as a curator who does not work in Maastricht, have gotten the opportunity to get funding from the municipality of Maastricht, because they were like, it's close enough. Yeah, you're contributing to us. Here's the money.
Yeah, like I come from a small town in the south of Brabant, and I got rewarded twice with like a subsidy as well. It's a little bit easier over there as well. It's not not cool to say, but they have money to spend and less artists. That's really a difference with the Randstad.
Maybe another alternative that artists think about besides actual grants is also you have a fonds called Fonds Quadraat, who gives out interest-free loans. And they also give it out already for graduation exhibitions and also right after you graduated. So this can also be a way to fund your art practice throughout this first year after your academy, for example, or your first year of art practice. And then you can pay that amount back in the following years without any interest. So, I mean, it's not a grant, but it can be a way to further sort of proceed your career.
I heard it's pretty easy to apply for that. Is it something you hear as well? No, I'm not sure.
I've never heard somebody that applied there.
Oh.
The most people want money and not have to pay it back.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
But sometimes that's not possible.
But that's a good tip for if you really have like a project you can sell. So it can
for example,
be
yeah.
a kickstart, like an investment.
Yeah.
Kickstart your investment, yeah. So we've come to the end of this episode, the second episode. I hope it gave you tools and a bigger trust in your next application. A lot of thanks to my guest for traveling to Galerie Bart in Amsterdam. If you have any questions for my guests, reach out to them. And we put all the links in the show notes, so take a glass of wine and stroll through these links. Thanks for listening. The next episode will follow in 1 month. Make sure to listen to our first episode as well. It's named The Big Void. Well, bye.
Bye.
Hoi je.
Hoi je.